It is the 7th of March. My sincerest apologies for missing school. I hate to miss class.
Yeah, but I was pretty darn sick, so I apologize.
And I think, you know, I don't want to miss class because you folks, you, yeah, well, you organize your whole, you got all the messages, right? I wasn't going to be. You organize your entire day around this class. And so if I'm not here, that's a problem, isn't it? And so then you look at when they put the sign up that says class canceled, everybody goes, yeah!
Why even bother showing up?
But it really doesn't hurt this class as much, but it hurts the other class a lot when I miss a class. Because we're on a very tight schedule. Okay. It actually helps this class, not in a good way, but it helps us. Okay, everybody get chapter 6? Everybody get one? Extras? Did you get one? Did you get one yet? Pass them over here. Pass them over there, Derek, can you? Okay. Okay. I'm going to pass one back here. Did he get one yet? Did you guys get them yet? No. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry?
Do you need a
plant-based diet? Oh, no, meat if you put it in front of you, meat. But we do, we have meat, but not a whole lot. It's much better for you, but we'll discuss that today. But you're right. If you have whatever you have to bring to the table, please do. Okay, let's get started. Sorry to interrupt. Let's get started. Whoops, I didn't erase the board. Because today, we hope to change your life. In a good way, of course. We're going to look at consumerism. And of course, consumerism, it's a bit dry, so we try to spice it up, and we will. Chapter 4 is due today, but those chapter 1, 2, and 3. Turn in those assignments, even if they're late, because they will help you, in my humble opinion, your grade, obviously, from Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, but more importantly, in your life, in your financial life, they will help you, in my humble opinion. And if you don't believe me, scream and yell, holler at me. I want to hear good stuff. I want to hear bad stuff too. Check out ratemyprofessor.com because we're going through consumerism. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Nobody has a good joke. Later. Did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar? And the duck and the rhinoceros and the condominium that walked into the bar and the, how about the I'm sorry yeah we'll start we'll transition soon but how about the anteater that walked into a bar? This anteater walks into the bar. Have you heard this story before? And he goes up to the bartender, and the bartender says, "What do you have?" And the anteater says, "I don't know." The bartender says, "Well, how about a beer?" And the anteater thinks and says, "No." And the bartender says, "Well, do you want a shot of whiskey?" And the anteater says, "No." And the bartender says, "Why the long nose?" Why the long nose? So you think they're eventually going to get better, right? No. You gave up on the other. You're right. Okay, so today, the book has this incredibly boring, tedious name, Consumer Purchasing Strategies and Wise Buying of Motor Vehicles. We'll talk about cars on Tuesday. So you motorheads, we need your stories. But if I were going to change, if I were going to give this chapter a name, I'd call it, "I'd Like Some More Things, Please." Isn't that the American way? Don't you want more things? Well?
No, I don't want any more things.
You don't want any more things?
No more stuffed animals.
No more stuffed animals. Yes, the average American child has 400 toys. 400 toys. That's low? Yeah. Now, this happened 20 years ago, right, when Microsoft was exploding and Bill Gates didn't really understand how rich he was. And he was asked by a reporter, this is something different, right? This is an interview. He said, "There is nothing good that comes out of being
the richest man in the world. Now, he's no longer the richest man. Who is? Bezos of Amazon fame. Jeff Bezos. Oh, I don't know. Go look it up. Maybe Gates is big. Because Microsoft went up, Amazon went down. Yes? Well, we don't know. Maybe they're going to get back together again because that's going to... What that's going to do to the stock, you know, if they're going to split that. And I don't think she really wants anything. We don't know. I do not follow People magazine. I don't care about people getting divorced. Not my problem. But it's a problem if you have to split apart the stock.
Does premium stock also split during divorces, or is it just common stock?
I don't know how Amazon stock. He's getting into different share classes of stocks. I don't know how it's configured. And I've done my best not to read anything because I'm not interested in somebody's sex life with their mistress and their wife. It's none of my business. But in this case, it is important because what's going to happen to Amazon? That's important. But don't you want to be the richest person in the world? Yeah? Wouldn't that make you happy? Yeah? Well, not Mr. Gates says no. In fact, they asked him, Mr. Gates, what are you going to do with all your money? Who are you going to give it to? He said, I'm not giving away my money. And there was this huge backlash. How dare you? What do you have to give back? And there's people like, Bill, you don't understand. You're going to give away your money. I am. You're rich. You don't have, there's no way you can spend all the money you have. I can't. He didn't know. He's a nerd. He's interested in taking over the world. He doesn't care about his money. And so they came back and said, oh, Mr. Gates misspoke. He intends to give away his money later. And so now he's doing it, right? You've heard of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where tens of billions of dollars are being transferred from Gates' estate into the foundation. And now other billionaires are using that same, Warren Buffett is using the same foundation to transfer billions of dollars. And they're doing good things around the world. But don't you wish you were the world's richest person? For a while there, who was the world's richest person from Mexico? Carlos Slim, but not anymore. I'm sure that pissed off a lot of Americans. Scandal number six. Culture of consumption, scandal number six. There's lots of them. We're only going to touch on a few. Clothes. Thanking you for the clothes of your dead people. A journalist was on assignment covering cultures around the world and specifically how their cultures relate to and think of our culture. His guide in East Africa, the affluent part of Central Africa, invited him to come see the distribution of the clothes from the dead Americans to the locals. When the journalist asked the guide why the locals thought the clothes were from dead Americans, the guide looked at him oddly and said, why would a living person give away any of their clothes? Do you give away your clothes? You do? But they still fit you, don't they? Oh, that is why you give them away. Because you don't give away clothes that fit? Obviously, no. A person doesn't do that. Culture of consumption scandal number 12, pets. Now remember, I'm going to insult everybody by the end of the semester, so don't figure pick the pot. A what therapist? How much does a very busy dog therapist charge for 6 one-hour sessions with you and your dog? ABCDs. I forgot the ABCDs. Of course, I always forget them. Get your ABCDs out. You need them for this one. ABCDs. I should go running back and get them. That was dumb.
Wait, which city, though?
Which city? No, it's just average. I forget which city it is.
LA's going to charge more.
Yeah. $250, $500, $1,000, or $1,500. How many? It's $1,500. That's $250 per hour. I'm in the wrong business. When I see these people and their dogs, because we live right across the street from a park where people and their dogs, and it is nauseating. Here, Pookie, come here, girl. Good girl. I think of Vietnam. What do they do with dogs in Vietnam? Tijuana. there was this one restaurant that did it. The Chinese restaurant was serving dogs. They eat them. Some of these dogs deserve to be eaten. Pokey, stop that. Now, don't rip out the other dog's lungs. No, that's a bad thing to do. It's nauseating. It really is nauseating. And
Speaking of dogs, what is the average yearly cost of owning a dog? Less than $500, between $500 and $1,000, $1,000 and $1,500, and over $1,500. Right, D. It's D because one series of therapy sessions costs $1,500. The average is about $1,900 a year. The total for Americans in, what year was that? It was a few years ago. $63 billion and rising. It's rising. People are now taking their dogs to doggy daycare, having pet vacations, buying pet insurance for their dogs. And when their doggy or kitty dies, they burn them, incinerate them, send off the ashes to a company that turns their ashes into a diamond, and then they wear Fido on their fingers. And that's a few thousand dollars. Frugality. Remember the four I asked you to remember? Spend less than you earn, live beneath your means, pay yourself first, make love, not loans. This is frugality. Frugal. For every $2 spent, you must earn more than $3, maybe up to $4, depending on your income bracket. Do you remember that from chapter 3? A dollar saved is $2 earned. It's, remember, a penny saved is a penny earned. This is from The Wealthy Barber. This is from another book, which is a phenomenal book, but it's now over 20 years old, and he passed away, the author. His daughter has written another version called The Next Millionaire, The Next Millionaire Next Door. I haven't looked at it yet. This one, you don't need, you know, the numbers are a little wrong, obviously, but you don't need to buy any of these other Millionaire Mind and Think Like a Millionaire, Become a Millionaire This, Millionaire That. This is the first one. Read it. It's good. How did that, and I have some copies. If you want to borrow one, I have some copies. I bought a bunch of these when I was teaching at the library, and not the library, teaching at the prison, because they don't have a library, they don't have the internet, so I would. And I got most of them back. The guys gave most of them back. How did the wife of a millionaire respond when her husband gave her $8 million worth of stock in the company he recently took public? She said, "I appreciate this. I really do." Then she smiled, never changing her position at the kitchen table, where she continued to cut out 25 and 50 cent off food coupons from the week's supply of newspapers, just as she had done each week for the past 27 years. Somebody just dumped $8 million in your lap, and you're cutting out food coupons?
I love her.
Don't you love her?
That's my aunt.
What's the most important financial decision you're going to make in your life? Do you think this gentleman could have done that if she had run up $100,000 in credit card bills while he's trying to build his business? And he complained, "I can't get my wife to spend anything." He shouldn't be complaining. He should buy it for her and say, "Here you are, dear. Thank you very much." Speaking of millionaires, this is again from The Millionaire Next Door. This was spoken by the senior vice president of a trust department of a major bank that had commissioned a focus group interview of 20 first-generation millionaires. These are people who built it themselves. So all the people in the blue suits, right, and the major bank and the trust department, they're looking for very wealthy net worth clients, and they want to learn about these people. And the guy, the senior vice president, says, "These people cannot be millionaires. They don't look like millionaires. They don't dress like millionaires. They don't eat like millionaires. They don't act like millionaires. They don't even have millionaire names. Where are the millionaires who look like millionaires?" In debt. Well said, Laura. They had bought fine wine and tea sandwiches and caviar. And these guys and gals showed up in jeans and t-shirts and asked for beer and ham sandwiches. Who ate the caviar? Who drank the fine wine?
The people who set it up.
The people who set it up. Right, exactly. There are over 8 million households, there are more now, in America with a net worth of over $1 million. The median age is 57 years old. Now, what do you remember? What average and median, there's two different averages. There's the mean average and then there's the median average. When people say average, they usually mean the mean average, you know, the nasty one. That's the one where they add up all numbers and divide by the number of people. Median is different. 50% above, 50% below. Okay? So 50% are 57 or above, 50% or 57 below. Is it going to happen overnight? Are you going to build your wealth overnight? No, it takes time. Most are married and... everyone should say, have not divorced. You can read, right? Most are married and
What's the most important decision you're going to make in your life? Ask Mr. Bezos right now. More than 80% are first-generation millionaires, which you think many millionaires inherited it, right? No. They built it. They built it themselves. The median income is $131,000. Again, $131,000, 50% above, $130,000, 50% below. So is that what you think of as a millionaire's salary? It can be. It cannot be. It depends on how much you spend, because most invest at least. See, you might think I'm crazy. You may be right. But when you answer me, you actually learn better. So what were we shooting for? Do you remember from chapter 1? Pay yourself first. 10%. If you can do better than 15% and still live your life without, you know, eating straw every day, you're going to do well, assuming you invest wisely, prudently, and we'll get into investing later on. 50% have never spent more than $399 per suit, which means they don't buy any our money suits. I don't know why they call them our money suits. They should be their money suits. Because once you buy the suit, it's not your... I'm sorry, what's it called? Armani, right, Armani. Our money. Their money. What? Yeah. $140 for Fucci shoes. What is it? Gucci, right? And $235 for a wristwatch. I tell my wife, I want a cheap wristwatch. She said, you need one that looks nice. So she got me to buy one. It was $85, and it was on big sale. And, of course, I broke it. No. The lesson is clear. If you want to become a millionaire, having a high income is not important. You must be frugal and invest wisely. Therein lies the paradox. You know what a paradox is? Two things that don't make sense at first, but when you look at them, oh yeah, they do make sense. Do you want to be a millionaire, or do you want to live like what you think a millionaire lives like? All the people who you think are millionaires, fancy cars, flashy clothes, are really just high income, high consumption wage earners with 10 credit cards all run up to the maximum. The millionaires are the penny pinchers. Isn't that bizarre? You run into millionaires every day at the post office, at the grocery store, and you don't know it. That's why it's called the millionaire next door. Right? Cool. But what about the lifestyles of the rich and promiscuous? And Don King and Jennifer Spears and Brittany Lopez, huh? And Lady Goo Goo Gaga Gaga Lady Go Go. What about them? Well, the media loves to showcase the high net worth, high consumption celebrity figures. The truth is that they constitute only a small percentage of the millionaires in the United States. The media advertisers love these people because they encourage the little folk, like you and me, to overconsume. Does Paris Marriott? Paris Sheridan? Paris Hilton! Does she buy that $12 bottle of water that she drinks while she's flashing her boobs? No, they give it to her and pay her $1 million to carry it around. Does Leopard Woods or Cheetah Woods? Tiger Woods! Does he buy his Nike shoes? No, they give them to him. They pay him $90 million to walk around in them. What? Yeah. So you see? Why are they doing this? Because people say, oh, if Cheetah Woods is using it, then I'm going to use it. Yeah. And then I don't understand. They talk a lot about this one family called the Kardashians. What are they? They might be from Russia. Maybe they like to drive in Russia, the Kardashians. Okay, so when you are sitting at home watching TV, feeling sorry for yourself as you compare yourself to Bouncy or Bouncy? What's her name? Beyonce. Instead, compare yourself to the citizens of Niger. You can say Niger. Not Nigeria, Niger. Because it's French. Over 60% of the population live on less than a dollar a day. So you go to $5 on Monday, You just spent the week's salary. About 41% do not have access to clean water. Over 90% of the women over the age of 15 are illiterate, ladies. That means they can't read. And not because they don't want to read. They can't read. And life expectancy at birth is approximately 44 years. About 1.2 billion people around the world live on less than a dollar a day. Now, am I telling you this to make you feel guilty? No. Not at all. You're filthy rich. You can give away your clothes, you can feed your dogs and yourselves, and yet, do we feel like we're rich? No. We don't got enough. I don't have enough. I need more. Right? Wrong. You should be ecstatic. So do you still believe that you're going to live happily ever after when or if, when, oh, well, you become a millionaire? Do you think that's going to happen? You're going to be happy? There is nothing good that comes of that. Happiness is, here's the arithmetic part of the class here. Happiness is a quotient. It's equal to what you have over what you want. Think about it. It's a quotient. We in the West have, in our culture, wanted to maximize the numerator. If you make the numerator bigger, the quotient gets bigger, right? What's the problem with that? Our wants grow a hell of a lot faster because there's always more stuff for you to buy. And they keep coming up with new things and showing you on the TV, and you didn't even know it existed until 5 minutes ago, but now you have to have it or you're not going to be happy. What do the cultures and the religions of the East, what have they wanted you to do? They have wanted you to minimize the denominator. If you make the denominator smaller, the happiness goes up. Now, this is gets into religion and into philosophy. We often in the West equate heaven with nirvana, not the group. Right? Isn't that what we think of? Heaven is the same. No, they're totally different. Heaven is the fulfillment of all desires. You get a pair of wings and a harp, and they play shuffleboard and volleyball all day, and there's a party every night, a birthday party. Right? You'll be happy. You'll get everything you want. Nirvana is the exact opposite. You systematically destroy your desires. You destroy all material desires. And eventually you destroy the desire that everyone has, and that's to stay alive. And then life is no longer a disaster. We have our lives, and we die, but we don't have an attachment to that. Do you understand the difference? And so you decide how you want to do it. But I'll tell you, the Eastern way is a hell of a lot easier, except for the last part, than the Western way. Because you see people just trying to fulfill some unmet desire by buying more and more stuff, and it don't work. It just doesn't work. So now, what I want you to do, how are we doing for time? Not bad, we're doing good. I want you to open up page number 2 and take a few minutes to write down everything you have. Open up your closets in your minds.
I need more paper.
You need more paper. Go online. There's plenty more. Everything you have. And some of you, when you did your net worth statement, you left miscellaneous blank. I'm wrong. Open up your desk drawers. Open up your closets. Think about all the video games you have. And go ahead, start writing. Come on. Come on, Daniela. Some people have thousands of dollars in jewelry or tools or guns. Okay, who? Christina. Oh, you don't have a packet? Oh, sorry. Okay, just ask for one. You got to ask questions in this world if you want to get ahead. Everybody have a packet? So, Andrew here? Yeah, Andrew was here on time. And Carl, Raul Chavez, Jonathan Guerra was here on time. Giovanna, Nosta, Luis, Marchan, here he is, you were here. Christian Marin, no. Carlos Martinez, Eric Martos, okay. Guillermo Mata. Kiana, no. Moises Perez, no. Christina is here now. Tara and Kenya, no. Come on, Daniela. Come on. What are you doing? Yes, write everything you own.
Can we, categorize?
No, no, no. How many video games do you have? How much makeup do you have? Come on. It'll take the whole class. You're right. It's going to take you all weekend. You're rich. You're filthy rich.
You're broke.
You're broke, no, right? So you see, this is what we don't really understand, because we compare ourselves to Jeff Bezos and Donald Rump and all these other people. Rump is not as rich as he says he is, by the way. And yet, when you compare yourself to the rest of the world, you are very well off. Now, do you understand why somebody who does not have access to clean water, who lives on less than a dollar a day, whose children have died of dysentery because they don't have the 25 cents to buy the drug that will save them from the dysentery, and they die very sadly? Do you understand why they look at the West? They're not stupid. They look at us, and they see us feeding their dogs better than their children. Why they strap a bomb upon themselves? I'm not condoning it. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. It doesn't make the situation better. But we just don't understand, because we're coming from this wonderful world where if we were a millionaire, we would live happily ever after. And the answer is you won't. You won't. If you never learn to be happy with what you have right now, you have food, clothing, shelter, and internet access, right? Got to have internet access. Your wants will always outweigh your what you have. And even if you do become a millionaire, you will still face the same day-to-day travails that everyone faces. Your life will be more comfortable, but it's not a guarantee of happiness. In other words, if you're happy now, after you become a millionaire, you'll probably be happy. If you ain't happy now, you probably won't be happy. Maybe, but there's no guarantee. Are you with me? Okay, so do this on your own. And I'm serious. Do it. Think about it. How much stuff do you have? You'll be surprised. As we said, the average American child has 400 toys. Batteries. Now, the world is changing. But you remember alkaline batteries? Right? Screw the Energizer Bunny. Well, these things have replaced them, or they should. And even these are getting replaced by lithium ion. This is a nickel metal hydride battery. One of these will replace how many alkaline batteries, given normal usage? Is it 25 alkaline, 100 alkaline, 500, or 750? C, B, B, C, C, it's C. And if you're wise about it, because nickel metal hydride, they like to go all the way down and then come back up again. If you bring them down and then bring them back up, you'll get 750 uses out of it. But these are being replaced by lithium ion, which is a lot better. You don't have to worry about bringing it down or up. It doesn't matter. You can keep them.
What do you mean bring them down?
Discharge them almost all the way and then bring them back up. They don't like to be halfway and then brought back up. They like it when they go all the way down and all the way up. And that's what it doesn't. I mean, you know, still it's pretty darn good, giving normal usage. But if you always just use it a little bit and then bring it back up, use it a little bit, bring it back, that's bad. You won't get a whole lot out of these things if you do that. But don't worry, they're getting rid of them. They're changing to lithium. and which is what's in your cell phones and what's in the cars now and what's in most all these devices that are rechargeable. Beware of emotions. Shopping can be addiction for many people. Many people will buy things simply trying to fulfill some unmet childhood desire. Now, a gentleman by the name of John Bradshaw in the 1990s wrote some books that basically took what the modern psychologists had put together over the last, 40, 50 years or so, and made it accessible to individuals. He defines an addiction as any mood-altering behavior that the participant is no longer in full control of. And this is what maybe some heard of the 12-step programs for alcohol and other abuses. The first thing you do is you say, look, I'm not in control. The drug, the alcohol, the drug, whatever, is running my life. And don't think the advertisers don't know all about this. He described a woman who had 47 cashmere sweaters. Now, how much is a cashmere sweater?
$200.
Yeah, typically $200, maybe on sale for $140 or something like that, maybe more, depending on where you go. What the hell are you going to do with 47 of them? Yeah. What was the dynamic? What was going on? She's sad. Something's wrong in her life. She's not happy. And so this behavior is a mood-altering behavior. The process of identifying, going shopping, identifying and purchasing it, and that was making her feel better. But she's no longer in control of it. Are you with me? Understand? And so don't think that the advertisers know all about this. Do you ever wonder why they use sex to sell their products? Why? Because it works. Here's the brain of an average, typical male. Ooh. Cover that up. Come on, guys. Right? Right? You can keep the beer, right? But I will take the bubble-headed bleach blonde with the big and the nut. It drives me so nuts to see these advertisements of women. And it works. Doesn't it, guys? Come on, guys. Fess up. Right? Then you go, damn it. And so I did my research, right? I did my research. I actually found this. I forgot to bring it up. My apologies. Let's go back to this guy here, chapter 6. I was supposed to have this up on the screen. I didn't. Can you see that? It doesn't take a good picture. I apologize. It's about glare. This pisses me off so much. The woman is the beer. Why? Because it works. That's why. Because it subliminates the sex drive and turns it into a drive for alcohol. The advertisers are geniuses, folks. They are. Why do you think they spend hundreds of billions of dollars on advertising? Because it works. Economists estimate that for every hour of television a person watches each week, that increases their annual spending by about $200. So in 2005, the Nielsen folks reported that the average person watched approximately 4.5 hours of television a day, or about 31.5 hours a week. That means in 2005, the average person was spending an extra $6,300 a year. Can you imagine if they put that into their 401k? That they would not have spent if they did not watch television. By 2009, it had risen to 5 hours a week. A day. 5 hours a day, 35 hours a week. That's more than 24 hours in 1 week. 9 hours of your life. They would play.
No, I'm saying once that 2 hours is over, it's bedtime. I don't understand.
Oh, you're talking about in the evening, right? Yeah, that's the school, yeah. There's some articles for you to look at. Supposedly, if you watch television, every hour it takes 22 minutes. For every hour you watch, 22 minutes off your life. Happy people socialize. Unhappy people watch television. The news makes us. We don't even have a television in our house. I wouldn't have. When I met my wife, she didn't have a television. I didn't have a television. This is the woman I'm going to marry. It was great. And what do people say? Television commercials don't affect me. That's why they spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year, because they know it doesn't affect you. So I did my research, right? I went to Fascist Valley. And we went into... I'm not there yet. I'm done here. So here are the influences. Here are the influences from the book. I put the ones I think are most important to culture, the media, and your peer group. Why do they want you to wear a shirt that says Arrow Postale? Yeah, because you want to be like your peers, right? I want to be different just like everybody else. And so if my buddies are wearing Arrow Postale or whatever, I'm going to want to wear that. But then all the other personal factors. But this is this is what drives me nuts. Why would somebody please tell me why a Roach handbag is worth $600 more than a JCPenney's handbag?
Coach.
What is it? Coach. I'm sorry, Coach. You know, but for the prices they are asking, shouldn't they really call it first class? I mean, Coach, you know, that's the back of the bus, back of the place. They should be called first. And don't even get me started on lousy Vuitton, or what is it, loser Vuitton? No, that's all. This is...
Okay, but someone could argue that if Coach, like, I could care less about the name brand, if you buy one good quality item that will last, it's a lot better than buying, like, something from Penny's or H&M or something, where it's going to wear out more quickly.
It will?
In my experience, I trash
bags. In your experience? Okay, you trash bags, so you're not going to trash the Roach bag.
I'm going to trash it equally. But I've noticed that better quality material.
You can buy 10! 10 JCPenney bags for one Roach. Okay. Well, I said, I did my research. I went to Fascist Valley, and we went into the Roach store. I took my wife, Nita, that's her name. Take me to Fascist Valley. And I went up to the woman and I said, show me your most expensive bag. And her eyes lit up. So she shows me this bag, $1,350.
Wait, is your wife in there saying
that? Yeah, show me the most expensive bag. And the woman kept apologizing because they have a $3,000 or $4,000 bag where they were out of them. I didn't have them. So I'm looking at this thing and she's telling me all the wonderful things. I'm looking for the cocaine. Where is it? Where's the gold? I mean... It's a bag. I mean, it's nice, but I don't think it's going to last that much longer than a Macy's or whatever, JCPenney's handbag. And I said, okay, show me the one that people buy the most. Show me the bag that people buy the most. She brings me over the bag about that big. And it was, I think, $97. Strange number, $97. And I thought, okay, I dug. You know, I understood. The people who like these bags are not feeling good, and they want to change their mood. And they're not going to spend $600 or $1,300. They're going to spend $100 to buy another little Roach bag.
But you can't put it in. So your wife looks unhappy.
No, she doesn't want one. Yeah. By the way, you know, this is probably old news. This was from the Millionaire Next Door. JCPenney's is the department store that was most shopped at by millionaires. But that's probably old. That data is probably old now. Yeah, because JCPenney's is going down the porcelain oasis. Macy's. Yeah. Target? No, Target's doing well.
Did you hear about that? They went up.
Yeah, Target's actually doing well. You know, I'm the worst person to ask about shopping because I hate shopping. But Target is actually doing well. And it's kind of counterintuitive because you think that they're going to go after, they have to compete against Walmart, and they have to compete against Costco and Amazon, and yet they're doing really well in the United States. They are the only one that hasn't gone outside the United States. They're specifically domestic. And they did try. They tried going into Canada. Now, they're based in Minneapolis, so you'd think they would do well. They know Canada because it's right next door. They bombed out entirely. They had to... Yeah, you following them?
I've seen a video on it, and like, how like, they failed in Canada.
Well, very sad for them, but you would think. I mean, they know the northern country, northern states better than anybody else. So I don't know why. I'm not much for retail. So scandal number 73, light bulbs. And here we get into politics with consumption scandals. Given normal usage, how many incandescent bulbs will be replaced by one LED bulb? So you get one LED bulb, that's the light-emitting diode, and you get one of these old incandescent bulbs. And I'll give you a hint. You can't grab an incandescent bulb when it's on. You can grab an LED bulb. Don't do it. You might get shocked. But how many would be replaced? 2, 12, 22, or 42? 42. Because incandescent light bulbs give off 90% of their energy as heat. They last an average of 1,200 hours. Where an LED bulb can last up to 50,000 hours. It is more likely that it will be broken by somebody smashing or dropping it than it burning out. Over its lifetime, how much money will one LED bulb save you in energy and replacement costs? 25, 450, 637, or 1960? It's not always D, but $600 on one bulb. Now, why do people still buy incandescent bulbs? Because they're cheaper. A dollar instead of $3. Right. They're not thinking, right? And it's become political because the government has suggested, and it's been a long time coming, to just get rid of incandescent bulbs. And the manufacturers are saying, sure, we're ready. We'll phase them out. And what happened? Yes, Fox News and the right-wing media said the government is a nanny state and they're taking away your freedom to spend $600 more on a light bulb what the hell's the matter with you people? Technology moves on, yes.
Well, this goes back to what was said a few minutes ago about spending a little more to get a higher quality product, even though it's more upfront.
Yeah, but it's not $300, okay? But yeah, I mean, I was trying to make a point, but you're right. Maybe that bag is going to last a little longer than the other. I don't think so, but most likely going to lose the darn thing. What?
This is a better example of
what I was saying. This is a better example. Thank you. You're right, Thomas. This is a better example. Okay, now, consumer purchasing strategies, problem identification, gathering the information, experience of others, business-oriented organizations. Have you ever consulted Consumer Reports? No? Well, we're going to see them on Tuesday, next week. My apologies, we're a week behind now. A day behind. But we're going to see them when we look at cars, because they're not perfect. They make a lot of stupid things. They make a lot of stupid reports. But with cars, they're right on the money. And it's not because of them. It's because of all the data that they gather. So check them out before you make a major purchase. Are quality and price always related? The fact that Thomas was saying, not always. Do you take the time to comparison shop? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. I don't have time to do that. But it makes sense, especially when it's a big purchase. Negotiation, the book says, can be used on some products. I say all products. So you can't go into JCPenney and negotiate a price. Yes, you can. Not if you just buy one pair of pants, but if you buy seven, you think they'll give you a discount? Yeah, they will, sure. And if nothing, all you got to do is ask. What's the worst thing you're going to do? They know. Ah! They said no! Oh, well. A 2004 to 2007 survey by Consumer Reports shows that more than 90% of shoppers who asked for discounts got at least one. The negotiated price cuts were on a wide range of goods and services, including furniture, electronics, and medical bills. Decide in cash or cash. Get all acquisition and installation costs and conditions in writing. Maintenance and ownership costs may be associated with some purchases, the incandescent versus the LED. And do you complain if you're not satisfied? Do you? Believe it or not, the stores want you to. Now, pity the poor person behind the desk when somebody in front of you brings something that's 7 years old and they say, this didn't last, I want a refund. Those are the people you just, ooh, you're, I know, it is amazing, isn't it? And Home Depot, they'll take it back even if you trashed it. But they know that there are many people who won't complain. So what they will do is just go someplace else. So they want you to complain. Now, be reasonable. Who's dinging? Turn on your vibrate. Be reasonable. Because if you make a case reasonable, they should make you happy. Because they want you to come back. When's the best time to buy Christmas cards?
After Christmas.
Think about that, yes. Do you buy the store brands? The Kirkland? Or the, what's the Target one? The red something or other?
Great Valley?
Great Value or something like that. You know, it's often the same company making it. Because if you go to Del Monte and say, look, we'll buy a million cases of ketchup if you put our name on it. They say, okay. Not always. Sometimes it's somebody else.
Trader Joe's is like very well known for finding the best of something and working it way down.
And putting their name on it.
Yeah.
And that's why. And where, by the way, you know where Trader Joe's is based? You know where Trader Joe's is based? We discussed this in the 123 class.
Long.
Germany.
No.
It's owned by a German company. Aldi. It's owned by Aldi, yeah. I know most people think it's some guy in L.A. that
they
used
like
to
have a whole mythology.
Right. He used to be. He was a Trader Joe. He was a Joe, and he used to be into the tropics and all that stuff. But he's gone. He's long gone. It's now owned by Aldi. And do you look at the unit pricing? Sometimes it's not right. They do it weird. But you look at what it costs per unit. We're going to get to that when we take a look at the Tightwad Gazette potatoes. Study. Do you like these rebates? Why do they give you, hey, here's a coupon for $20 off if you buy this thing today? Why do they like that?
You're never going to repeat
that. Because people don't do it. And sale. Sale does not mean saving money. In fact, pretzel logic. But it's on sale. Think of how much we will save.
That's right.
You may spend less when you buy something, but you never save money whenever you buy something. You always spend money whenever you buy something. So, repeat after me. Spending is never saving. Come on, everybody. Spending is never saving. Spending is never saving. But you know, you're going to get the, oh, think of how much you'll save. And this was a receipt I got from that fabulously expensive, defunct Mervon. It was owned by Target, by the way. And then they sold it off, and then it disappeared. But see, my wife and I bought these shoes, and it said, you saved $37.02. And I went up to them. You know, I like to play with people's minds. She goes, excuse me, miss. I didn't save $37.02. I spent $75.40. My wife said, Frank, come on, leave the poor lady alone. Get out of here. And the woman goes, no, but sir, the list price would have been $110. You say, nobody pays list price anymore. A list price is 10% off list price. And so my wife is pulling me.
She's
I like
job.
To.
What? She's doing her job.
Yeah, I know. She's a job. I know, but I just, spreading strife is my greatest joy. Really, it just gives me such.
I would have regretted getting you out of.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you have. Yeah, right. I'm not saying you don't spend anything, but just think about it. You're not saving any money. But then I tell him a joke. Did you hear about the dumb guy that walked around the world? He drowned. That's my favorite really quick joke to get away. And then they kind of go, it's so funny. Okay. Scandal number 118. Meat. How many gallons of fresh water are used to produce 1 pound of beef? Do you know? Is it 100, 500, 1,000, or 2,500? You don't have to be right. Jonathan, where's yours? 2,500 gallons? Wow, those cows drink a lot of water.
And how much methane do they produce?
No. The cows don't drink 2,500 gallons of water. Where does the water go?
Into their food.
They have to produce the food. The cow doesn't come out of their mother at 1,500 pounds. They have to grow the damn thing. Now, this number is very, very controversial. The industry says it's about 440. Nobody believes them.
And this supposed expert from Cornell University says it's over 12,000. Nobody believes him either. It's somewhere in the middle. What?
It's a huge range.
I know. It depends on how you. It's kind of bizarre. But figure it's a lot. It's a lot of water that we're using. That's fresh water that, you know, is not an infinite resource. And how many people can be fed via grains with the resources needed to feed one person with beef? So in other words, you go to Hodad's one day, which you should, but order the unburger. It's the cheeseburger without the meat. It's a cheese sandwich, basically. Get the onions on the side grilled. It's awesome. But you feed one person with a burger. How many other people could you feed? 5, 10, 20, or 30? Yeah, it's 30 people. Plus, here's the thing that they're it's out there, folks. There are dozens of articles about this. It's not really good for us. You know, 100,000 years ago, when we were struggling to live 30 years, which was a very old age, meat was awesome because it's packed full of protein and other nutrients. And so we got it whenever we could. And you know how we mostly got it? Did we go out hunting? No, we did, but not a lot. You know what we did? We found the animals that were killed by another animal, and we ate the scraps. Well, you're trying to survive. Because we started out as vegetarians. Our system is still basically set up for vegetarians. But now that we're living 90 years, it turns out that, you know, meat's not really that good for us. And so I'm not trying to make you into a vegetarian, all right? It's up to you. You decide. What? Heart disease, cancer, and a few other things, too. But it's good for the soul. Yeah, I know. If somebody puts a steak in front of me, I'm not going to say I'm not going to eat it. But just how about reducing it? In fact, what happens in other cultures, in other countries, the amount of beef or chicken or whatever that we eat in one setting, that family will break it up into four people. You know, arroz con pollo. You know, they won't just have, a person won't eat half a chicken. They'll take that half a chicken and eat it amongst three people or so. So just see if you can reduce your usage. It'll be healthier and better for the planet. Now, the cost of convenience. We already talked about this in some respect when we talked about credit, but it's really true. Convenience costs a ton of money. This is from a defunct magazine that you can still pick up as a book. They put them all together into a book called the Tightwad Gazette, and it's long gone. But they did a study where they took a potato. Now, 5 ounces. Why do we choose 5 ounces? Because that's about a serving. And that's about a small potato, like a little smaller than my fist. 5 ounces. A little bit bigger than a deck of cards, right? About 120 grams, 130 grams if you want to do a metric. And if you find a 10-pound bag for $2, which you can usually find on sale. Sometimes you go to these grocery outlets, you can find it for a dollar, a 10-pound bag for a dollar. But say you find a 10-pound bag for $20, 20 cents a pound. That means that 5-ounce potato is going to cost you 6 cents. Now, what can you do with that 5-ounce potato? Mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, potato soup. You can make your own French fries. You can even make your own potato chips. You got to very slight, you know, slice them slightly. But as soon as you go to the other side of the store and buy the Ore-Ida extra crispy fast food fries in the 26-ounce bag, those 5 ounces now cost you 90 cents.
Where are those, like the frozen ones?
These are frozen, yeah. These are frozen. Crispy fast food fries. If you buy the Pringles potato chips, and those things are not potato chips, folks. I don't know what the hell they are, but they're not potato chips. They make a mash, and then they stamp them. I think that's how they do it, right? Because they're not sliced that way. In the tube, which I always, weird. It's like they should be tennis balls, right? $2.59. Lay's fat-free Olestra potato chips, which you can't buy anymore. $3.12. Now, what is Olestra? It was fake fat. It was developed by Procter & Gamble, and they thought this
product is going to take over the world because it tastes like fat. It's got that mouthfeel. We crave fat because fat is nutrients. It's twice as much energy as protein or carbohydrates. And they put it in potato chips and they put in a whole bunch of things. But the bag had all these warnings on it. He took some of them away. But warning, this product may produce abdominal cramping and loose stools and bloating and vitamin deficiency, diarrhea, and anal leakage. And people sort of said, well, you know what? I don't want that stuff. And now you don't get it anymore. Idaho for premium hash browns, $3.65. McDonald's French fries, almost $4 for a 5-ounce serving. Do you understand why McDonald's says, would you like fries with that? Because that's where they make all their money, in potatoes. They don't make it off the Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola makes that. And they make some money off the burgers, but they make their money off of French fries.
Which has something like 20-something ingredients.
What the hell they are. And then this stuff, the mash loaded cup, a loaded cup. Now, I don't want to tell you what I really thought when I first looked at that, but I thought, ugh. Like I've got a load in this pants. And then pop chips. Have you seen these bags? They're 0.8 ounces. It's a bag of air. And people pay $1 or $1.20 for them. That 5 ounces of potatoes now costing you $7.44. So your assignment, which is on the next page, right? Here's your assignment. And we forgot to talk about, we'll talk about the bonus assignment too. Your assignment is the cost of convenience. What you're going to do is choose a food staple. Now, what are we talking about? Oats, wheat, rice, sugar, potatoes, beans. You can choose vegetables, you can choose meats, but there are dairy. It's a lot harder. Dairy you can get away with because it's some cheese and yogurt and stuff. But choose a staple, just one. So say you choose rice. Find out how much a 10-pound or 20-pound bag is, and then what you do is you make this calculation. Let's say that it costs you $2.59. I'm sorry. That's the price. You multiply it by 5 divided by the number of ounces. Let's say this box was 10 ounces. $2.59 is the price of the item, but you're only interested in 5 ounces of that. So you take 5 divided by 10 ounces, and that's about $1.39, right? $1.29, 5. So $1.30. You can round it off. Do you understand that calculation? So you do that for, if you choose rice, a 10-ounce bag of rice, Rice Krispies, rice milk, rice cakes, rice ice cream. Are you with me? Choose one staple and then do 5-6 items. And as you see it more and more processed, you'll see the price do this. Yes? Because it's a 10-ounce bag. It's a 10-ounce box. You're trying to get the unit price. You're trying to get how much 5 ounces is. So say it was 2 pounds. Now here's the English. It's not even called the English system anymore.
Automatically the 5 is going to be on top.
The 5 will always be here. This is the number that's going to change. Let's say it was a 2-pound bag. $2.59 times 5, 2 times 16. Because there's 16 ounces in a pound. So that's it's now called the United States system. If you want to use metric, you change it to like 120 grams divided by however many grams. They say it's 500 grams. If you want to use metric, use about 120 or maybe 130, you decide. And what you should see is as the product becomes more and more processed, you're going to see the price go up. Potatoes, wheat, corn, rice. It's amazing. It's amazing you're going to see this happen. Now, sugar, it doesn't go up as much because sugar's already pretty cheap. But cool, is that it? Okay, now turn the page. I forgot to tell you this when we were talking about television. I'm basically a subversive, and I want you to throw away your television and start reading books. which you can get on your cell phone. You don't have to go to the library. You can download the books from the library to your cell phone. You don't need to go in there and deal with the librarians. I know they look nasty, but they're actually very nice. And so you're going to, for a week, record how much television you watch. And maybe make it into a competition with your friends and family. And every time you watch that television, write down when you started, when you ended, what you watched, and then we're going to sum it up and see how you did over the week. Remember, the average is 35 hours a week, 5 hours a day. Yes? Okay, here's where it gets a little tricky. A lot of people don't even watch television anymore. They watch everything on YouTube. So now, how do you, because it's weird. You know, some things you're watching on YouTube are actually shows, right? There are actually shows. Other things are just maybe you're doing something. It's a how-to. How-tos are very popular. So you decide. Should you include movies if you're watching Netflix? Yeah. Mia says yes. You know, some people say no. Movies different than television. You know, I don't know. You decide. What? Exactly. What kind of podcast is it? You're interested in cars and they're telling you about cars, you know. You decide. I would include it, but other people might say, no, this is different. You know, you watch television, that's for entertainment. But this is for,
enrichment. Facebook when they're doing lives.
Yeah, I would include that, but you decide. Mia said it best, screen time. No, Laura said it. Who said it? Whoever said it. Screen time, you decide. And you'd be surprised, some of you. You're going to see, oh my goodness, I'm spending a lot of time. Okay, let's continue. Speaking of food, because we're doing okay. How you doing? Are you getting an education?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, we were at a restaurant, and this was just about a couple months ago, and an ex-student of my wife's came up to us and said, Miss Sterling, she doesn't use my last name, Miss Sterling, how are you? She was still working as a waitress, but she's at San Diego State getting her MSW, her master's in social work. And then she said, oh, you were in my class, I was in your class. And she, my wife remembered her. And she said, you changed my life. And I said to that woman, I said, you just gave a teacher the best compliment you can give a teacher. You just gave the best compliment you can ever give a teacher to change your life. Speaking of food, match the continent, Eurasia, North America, Africa, with how many calories per day? Huh? How many? 2,400 calories a day. Asia?
Because if it's like food produced divided per capita,
yeah, I think so.
It's going to be pretty high up.
I don't know. Ask the WHO. This is the United States Environment Program. And the least one is Africa, but Carlos is saying Africa is very high. 3,200 calories, Eurasia, 3,600 calories, North America. The world average is 2,700 calories. How many calories do we need? A little over 2,000 for most guys, 2,000 for a woman. It depends on the individual, but yeah, you don't need that many. But the daily caloric intake of the average American has risen by 148 calories per day since 1980. This reflects an additional 15 pounds per person each year. Are your clothes feeling a little tighter? And the food companies know this. They know that we're eating an extra 150 calories a day that we shouldn't be eating. That's one Coke. And yet, if we stopped eating that 150 calories a day, we're talking $100 billion in food sales. And for a dollar more, you can get a large, and that's what? How many calories? It's another 250 calories.
Or you can just shop at the grocery
store. Or drink water. So do you think they're going to stop their advertising and say, oh, we don't want you to eat that extra 150 calories a day? No. And so, 8,000 years ago, this was the image of the ideal woman. What a babe. What can we say about... Now remember, she was the goddess. Now this is, men weren't the gods at first. It was the woman, because that's where babies come from. And what can we say about this woman?
She had enough.
No. She can make babies. And she can feed them, too. And that's important. Because if you don't make babies, what happens to your society? No mas, right? That's what happens. And now, you know where I'm going with this, right? What's the image of the ideal woman now? So here's the ideal woman. It's not accurate? These women are paid $10,000 to look like that. What? These are old pictures? You can still find them. Look at them. Maybe I'm wrong. You see that? And because they want them to be so thin, because the camera adds 5 pounds, right? So they're even thinner than what they look. These women have the 4 food groups, right? Coffee, water, lettuce, and nicotine, right? Maybe a little cocaine, too. You see what's going on? Yes. Get in trouble for what?
Like making them like too skinny or like...
Well, what's the problem? What can't these women do?
They can't menstruate.
They can't make babies. Once a woman's body gets below about 6% body fat, they stop menstruating. Their body knows, you can't make a baby. You can't feed it. You can't even make it. So this is what the society has done to women. And it drives me insane because I think this is pretty ugly. But you decide. According to recent studies sponsored by the USDA and the NRDC, National Resource Defense Fund, how much of the nation's food ready to harvest never gets eaten? Is it 2 to 5%, 10 to 15%, 20 to 30%, or 40% plus? It is D. People don't believe it. They don't believe it that we waste so much food. Much of the crops just rot. And we're having this battle over immigration. And the farmers can't find people to pick the goods. See, this is why politics, you know, poly means many and ticks are blood-sucking insects. And this is why I'm glad I never got into the business. Because NAFTA was a good deal. No matter what Pinchy Trump says, NAFTA overall was a good deal. But there are always losers in trade deals. There are always many, more winners usually if it's done well, but there are losers. And the biggest loser was not the United States or Canada, it was Mexico. The Mexican agricultural industry was decimated because they were so far behind the United States and Canada in mechanization and automation. So you're a farmer, you're a Mexican farmer, and you now see corn and sorghum and wheat being sold for less than it cost you to produce it. You're out of business. What do? You go to the Macalioduras along the northern border. You go to Mexico City, maybe. Or you go to the United States and Canada where they need more farm workers. You're a farmer. And the number of undocumented immigrants went from 3 million to 12 million. And the government basically said, quiet, let it go. Because they, at the same time, they should have created, would have stopped this whole insane system is at the time if they had created a guest worker program. Because most of these people did not want to move. They did not want to leave their families. And so they come, they do what they're going to do, they do the season, then they go back. Well, of course. Some not, but yes, many are exploited. So obviously, you know, politics is the art of what is possible, not what is ideal. And so they said, look, NAFTA was hard enough to get through. And so you decide. You decide, you know, how you come down. But this country has always used immigration to grow our economy. We're a nation of immigrants. And this was 25 years ago, folks. Mexico has not stood still. Their agricultural industry has caught up, and now you don't see millions of people coming to the United States and Canada because they don't need to. They can make a living in Mexico. The average family of four throws out how much dollars worth of food each year. Is it $50 to $75, $100 to $150, $250 to $300, or $575? Yes, D. Yeah, $50 a month. There's your Roth IRA. Some people throw away a lot more. Scandal number 235, bottled water. See, this is the advertisement we would love to see. This is called smart water. There ain't nothing smart about it. This is smart water. Buy a filter. You can buy a cheapy one. They're not that great. A couple hundred bucks gets you a good
reverse osmosis filter. It lasts for about 7-8 years, and then you have to replace them. Sometimes it lasts longer. But it's a hell of a lot cheaper than buying bottled water. And it's the same crap. It's H2O.
The only thing to be worried about is that filters don't filter out carcinogens, so if the water you're filtering happens to have some.
What don't they filter out?
Carcinogens.
Carcinogens.
Yeah, sorry.
What types? Reverse osmosis is supposed to do that. My understanding, it is.
I heard that it doesn't, or at least Brita.
Oh, Brita is not. Brita is charcoal. Oh. Yeah, you get a reverse osmosis. And check them out. You're available at Home Depot or Lowe's or online. They're not that expensive, but somebody gave me a Voss. Have you seen a Voss? $12, $11 for a bottle. Somebody gave me the bottle. What? Oh yeah, the container was so beautiful. One of the maintenance, the janitors threw it away. They thought it was just an empty bottle, so they took it out of they clean up our office every couple of weeks. And they just, I was like, because I ain't buying one. What the hell is $12? What is it? Do they gingerly handpick the hydrogen and the oxygen atoms and place them together? That what you heard, right? It's water! But, you know, it's not really just water. I don't know if you noticed, but when I leave, I pick out these things out of the trash and I put them in that blue container in front of my office. Those things are $4. The blue container, you can buy, they're probably more now. But Home Depot has them for about $4. Every single office should have one in front of their office because we have people come on campus and go through the trash. And they wouldn't have to go through the trash. They could just pick them up in the blue containers. How many plastic bottles make their way into landfills or wind up as litter each year? Is it $6 billion, $12 billion, $22, or $28 billion? It's not always D, but the state of California says it really is closer to $28 billion. And now, this is the cute thing that if you have a website or your Facebook page or whatever, you can put this counter on your web page. Sometimes it takes a long time to come up. I forget. It takes a while for it to come up. Where is it? Boom, boom. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. You can put this counter on your website. This represents the number of beverage cans and bottles that have been landfilled, littered, and incinerated in the U.S. so far this year. $23 billion. So, are you going to stop buying bottled water and throwing it in the trash? Oh, but that's expensive. That's expensive, though. How much? Like $4,000 or $5,000?
The water is so harsh here that it will corrode.
Yeah. Well, you can get, there's filters for that don't use charcoal. They use salts. But they're a lot more cheaper. How much is the reverse osmosis? Did you look into it? I think it's several thousand dollars. You can now buy a system. It's really cool. How are we doing for time? Not bad. At Costco? For the entire house? I got to look what it is. Okay. This one system, you put it on your roof, and it's solar paneled, it's not connected to your electricity, it will pull water out of the air. Pull water out of the air, and it takes about, 6 liters a day, it makes about 6 liters a day, so it's just for drinking, it's not for the house. But think about that. The range, you're not going to get a whole lot, because it's solar paneled. And it has a reservoir, so it needs solar panel.
It'd be perfect for here because of the rain.
Yeah, it would be perfect for here, yeah. Okay, how are we doing? We got to get, come on, we got to get going. Okay, return to the place of purchase, contact the company's main office. I love to send a letter to the CEO. Send a letter to the CEO. You were pissed off about something? The CEO is not going to read it. He or she's not going to read it. Some underling will deal with it. But at least you show you've done enough research to look who's running the company. The Better Business Bureau, I've never thought they were that cool. Federal Trade Commission, if it gets to the point where you really cannot make it, they won't make it right, you're not happy, you can ask for mediation. And mediation is cool. Why? Because the parties work it out together. It's non-binding. Non-binding, but the mediators have this process, and I went through it. I learned it. I learned how to become a mediator. It doesn't take that long. It's a process that you use to get the people starting to talk to one another, and usually you can get them to agree, because there's certain issues that are thorny that people are saying, no way, I'm never changing. Well, let's look at it this way. Oh, yeah, okay. Next step is arbitration. Arbitration is different. That's a legal binding document. You go to an arbitrator. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's three. And you present your case, the other person presents their case, and the arbitrator decides, or arbitrators decide. Sometimes there's one arbitrator, and then you pick one arbitrator, they pick another arbitrator, so you have three, so there's no tie. And if you go this route, basically you're saying no more jury trial. I'm not going to go to a court of law. So you have to pretty much be happy with what the arbitrator says. Unless you can prove that there was some like hanky-panky going on. And because the last action is going to court. Don't do it. Unless it's small claims, under $7,500, because then you get one day, no lawyers. What they're going to do is they're going to send you to a mediator first. Before you go into talk to the judge, they're going to send you to a mediator. And the mediators are going to hopefully work it out. But if you have to use a lawyer, folks, who wins in the courtroom? Who wins in the lawyer in that case? The lawyers. So there's lots of lawyer jokes. Did I tell you what you know when you see three lawyers up to their necks in concrete? Did I tell you that? They ran out of concrete. How many lawyer jokes are there, really?
So many.
No, two. All the rest are real stories. Okay. So stay away. Now we'll come back to NOLO later on at the end of this semester. You can do it yourself, but don't. Try mediation, arbitration first. To protect yourself as a consumer, deal with reputable companies. I'm not a big fan of the internet, but my son, he buys everything on the infernal net, so he's a different generation. Avoid doing business, giving any information to telemarketers. I love telemarketers. I have so much fun with them. You know, they say, wait a minute, who is this? Who is this calling? Okay, well, you know what? First I want to know, what are you wearing? start with the shoes, click. You know, it's like, and then if they play along and they say, oh, yeah, then you just have some. My wife immediately gives me the phone. But get yourself on the do not call if it's not going to stop them. They're scammers. Avoid signing contracts and other documents you do not understand. Compare financing with the seller through a credit union is usually a better deal. Avoid rushing to getting a good deal. Whatever they say, oh, you got to act today. Sorry, no, I don't. And then, if it seems too good to be true, none of my students are going to be scammed, right? Right. Because when we come back on Tuesday, we will deal with the United States' number one culture of consumption scandal, and that is cars. Right. So now, you know, we're letting you go a few minutes early. I don't want you to feel like you're being cheated. So any questions, any thoughts? Okay, we'll see you on Tuesday, study. Get to work on your assignments and turn in any late assignments. Thank you. Do you have the, oh yeah, you do. Okay, great. Now remember, there's another part to this assignment, gentlemen. Oh, okay, good. Oh, I'm sorry, I did get that. I got to go back and look at it. That's the problem. Okay, thank you. I get confused. Thankful for that. Okay. Did anybody come in late? That I didn't get? Carl, no, this is 20. That's Carl Chance, Raul Chavez, Giovanna Lopez, Christian Marin, Carlos Martinez.
Here.
Carlos Martinez, where he is? Oh, there he is. Carlos Martinez, you got to make yourself known here. Guillermo Mata, Kiana, no. Moises is gone. Kenya and Tara, yes.
So I actually lost the folder I had for this class. Do you happen to have the chapter 4 and 5?
I should. We'll see. Let me turn this off.